Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 1045 WOKV.
Good morning. It is 8:06 on Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 7 till 9 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden and me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. The goal and format of the show is this: Larry's 20-plus year toiling about in the soil, my 20-plus years toiling about in buildings. We blend those thoughts and ideas and experiences to bring you entertaining, interesting, fun things about home and garden.
Yeah.
Then we absolutely welcome your thoughts, your input, your calls at 340-1045. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, listening on the WOKV app, which I love and use all the time when I travel, or WOKV.com or any of the other millions of ways to download and enjoy the show, you would need the area code 904-340-105. That's all there is to it. So we're grateful to be with you. Up to Arlington, checking in with our friend Mary. Needs help getting her roses.
Morning.
Hi, Mary. What's up with the roses? They're not in bloom?
No. Why aren't my seven sister roses not blooming? They're really
They didn't bloom this year, Mary?
They haven't yet.
Well, they're not going to probably because, you know, one thing about seven sisters is there's two kind groups of roses, one that blooms on the old wood and one that blooms on new wood. And a lot of the antique roses bloom on old wood, similar to what azaleas do and other plants that bloom on old wood. You know, the wood has to be 1 year old. They set their flowers immediately after they bloom, and they're there as an embryonic kind of flower. And if you trim them immediately or any time after they bloom, you're going to remove all the flowers. Because you
haven't trimmed them. They're growing good. They look healthy. They're real green and strong, but no blooms.
Somebody must have trimmed them somewhere along the line, because otherwise they would be blooming. Because no one trimmed them between last year and this year, not one time.
No, it's just me, and I've been here before.
Okay, well, Mary, then there's got to be some. Oh, there's going to be another thing that could have happened. They could have, no, this doesn't get cold enough. Maybe. the only other thing is the late frost could have damaged the flower buds. But
how about fertilization? Could it be they didn't get enough to eat over the winter?
Those seven sister blue roses, they can take some serious abuse. You fertilize, Mary, right?
They are healthy. They are green. But there's just no blooms.
No blooms on it. That is very unusual. Very unusual. Mary, I'm puzzled by that. The only thing I could think that could have damaged them is there was absolutely no pruning on them. Because it's you, you're sure of that. The lawn guy doesn't. You don't have a lawnmower company. A guy that mows your lawn.
I am my lawnmower.
Okay, Mary, you're strong. The only thing I could think of right off the top of my head that's very puzzling, because you know I've had roses, 300 roses garden myself, and had seven sisters myself. The late frost could have burned some of the new flowers, could have started and then could have got damaged from that. But are you in full sun?
I am.
Yeah. Mary, I'll have to give it some thought on that one for sure. That's the only thing I could think of is frost or some insect or some fungus, but you said they're healthy, so could damage it. So frost is the only thing I'm going to say on that. And I'll give it some thought on that. You can always send me an email at host@larrysgarden.com, and I can reply when I tumble it around in my brain during the week. All right?
Okay, thank you very
Thanks, Mary. That was an interesting question.
Thanks, Mary. Have a nice week, man.
I got stumped on roses. Okay.
That could happen.
It happens.
Well, here's one we've never dealt with before, rubber tree.
Yes.
Ron in Mandarin has himself a rubber tree. Ron, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Good morning, guys. I got a nice one in the backyard, and I want to be told how to get some cuttings off of it and what I do next. I understand that I go down the stalk a little bit and cut the leaves off and then put them in water. Is it that simple?
You could do water, but I don't really like the water thing. I just put it in some soil and some rooting hormone and keep it moist. The main thing is you want to let the cutting dry out in the shade maybe a day or two, because that, that's sappy. You want it to be somewhat dried out before you stick it in the potting soil, okay?
So that'll stop the white sap.
Yes, exactly. We want that to stop.
Ron, what was the attraction to the rubber tree plant?
Oh, it's a beautiful plant.
It was here when I bought it, house, and boy, the thing is just taking over.
Yeah, it will get big when we don't have cold weather to knock it down.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful plant.
That's pretty accurate. Just cut it there on the limb. I mean, on the leaf, the stalk, and just let it dry out in the yard in the shade for a day or two. Okay.
A day. And as long as that gets hardened off at the end of the day, then you can just, pull all the leaves off. Leave one leaf. I always leave one leaf, or a small leaf. Well, they're kind of big on a rubber tree, so it'd be hard to stand up.
Yeah.
So remove all the leaves on that one and put some rooting hormone on it and stick in a little a container of new soil. When you reuse soil, it has a lot of bacteria and pathogens in there that can get into the fresh cutting. Or you can sterilize your soil by putting it in a black plastic bag and setting it in the sun for a day or two, and that will raise the temperature up to 150 probably, maybe a little bit warmer than that, and that will sterilize it. All right?
I'll just get a bag of the potty. So
there you are, genius.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Ron, you're on the Hall of Fame or the Wall of Honor here. Larry and I have done over 500 shows together, and you are the first caller with Rubber Tree. So be sure to let your friends and family know that you are on the Home and Garden Show Wall of Honor.
Hey, Ron, how tall is your rubber tree? Just curious.
I would say it's about 5, almost coming on 6 foot.
That's great. It's pretty
cool.
Size.
It's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Love it. Congratulations.
Thank you for inducting me in the Hall of Fame, too.
You're welcome.
Don't mention it.
Yeah. Hall of Fame, Wall of Honor. We may even go with a Ring of Honor in here.
Yeah.
Okay,
the problem is, Larry and I are only here on Saturday mornings. Whenever we put good stuff up on the walls, the Rich and the rest of the regulars during the week are like, hey, get your stuff off our walls. I'm like, dude, it's my wall on Saturday morning.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate you. On the west side, there's a legend of the Home and Garden Show. Actually, the first inductee into the Home and Garden Show Wall of Honor is Jack on the west side. Jack, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing very well. I hope you all are.
I am great. Is your arm all healed up?
Yes, sir.
Yay.
Just got a nice little scar there.
Yeah, we'll make up a good story about how you got it, or like get a tattoo with a shark's head around that good-looking scar. You'd be a bad dude.
That's a good thought. I was so appreciative of Larry's story a while ago about all that cold water out there and everything, because we need that kind of weather here. But it just surprised me that rigor mortis didn't set in as cold as it was before the mouth got open.
It was cold, let me tell you. I learned my lesson about spring, mountain springs, that, even on a warm day, you want to put your toe in the water before you jump in, because, it was unbelievable.
I swim behind my boat on the St. John's River at least once every single month of the year, and I can tell you, November, not too bad. December, getting a little grizzly. January, whoa. And by February, is always the toughest month of the year in the river.
I'm telling you, that water must have been 40 degrees, almost freezing. I'm telling you, that woke me up. Going from about 80 to 75 and jumping in there, and I was just, oh, my God.
There's been ice on the St. John's, not in several years, but I remember when I was living on the river, you know, back in the late 80s, the year it snowed, there was ice on the river. Not this year. I don't think the water temperature in the river got below 50, but certainly not below 45 all winter, which is cold when you're swimming. It's just not cold by some standards.
Yeah.
So what's up with your veggies, Jack?
Well, it's not hurting anything at all, but I see all these white squiggly marks on my tomato leaves. I don't see a worm on almost every leaf.
It's leaf miner. Leaf miner.
I don't see anything in there, Larry.
They're hiding out during the day. They're not looking. They're trying to stay away from you.
Well, there's no hole in anything.
They're working at night. You know what I mean? They're just staying away. And you know, they may move on. You know, so there's, you know, you spray with seven dust or, you know, on that. If it's just minor, this is my on vegetables. Minor damage. You know, if it gets more than 20 or 30%, then I would take evasive action. But you know, just because you know you see one or two insects doesn't mean, because this is things we're eating. You know, that we want to keep it down to the absolute bare minimum of pest control on things you eat. You know,
I don't see any holes in leaves or anything. I just wondering what.
Yeah.
Leaf miners, huh?
Yeah, leaf miners. Definitely leaf miners. They get on citrus too and a few other things, and they like those tender leaves.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to replant
As long as they're not doing a lot of damage, seven dust will take care of them, though. Seven dust, if you wanted to treat seven dust, is very easy to apply. And then you can eat after 7 to 10 days. All right?
Yeah. I'll let it ride because they don't seem to be making any damage.
Yeah, let it ride. On these, you know, every time some people call me, I got one little brown leaf, it's got, you know, or some insect on there.
Yeah.
If it's not doing a lot of damage, just let it ride. They got to have a meal too, right?
Well, sure. Everybody got to have meals.
Exactly.
Jack, may I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a grandfather clock at your home? I heard it chiming in the background. You got it set on the quarter hour?
Yes, sir.
It chimed about a minute and a half late.
Oh, it did it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was taking in.
That's one of Wally's things he doesn't like.
Well, I got the
blinkers and everything like that.
I got the headphones on here, so you hear all the background from the callers.
Okay.
And I thought I heard the grandfather clock chime. I said, oh, man, Jack's got a grandfather clock. That's cool. And we've got like a nuclear clock here that gives us the right time, you know, from space or wherever. And I hear dong, dong, dong. I thought, oh, man, it's a quarter hour chime on the grandfather clock that's a minute and a half late.
I'll reset it here when you get off the phone.
Yeah. It wasn't being critical, Jack. It was trying to help.
Oh, I appreciate the help. I said something wrong, I don't notice in life sometimes. Yeah. I got to dig potatoes today, Larry.
All right. You can handle it.
The garden's coming along now. I'm looking for munchkins.
Get munchkins over there, the potato harvest. I appreciate that, sir.
All right, y'all take care and have a wonderful day.
All right. Hug the wife, Jack.
Okay, thank y'all.
Bye, sir.
Nice to see you.
Ah, he's such a nice man.
Oh, yes.
What a nice guy. His yard, have you been in his yard? No, I don't think so. He's it must be close to 2 acres of just gorgeous, gorgeous citrus and stuff growing everywhere. And he just tends his garden, and he's just a beautiful man.
Yeah.
Beautiful guy. All righty, where are we on this thing now? Let's do this. Let's jump out to the break, and that way we'll have a little more time after the break. It's 8:19 here at News 104.5. We've got like the double chiming clock. We don't want to be a minute and a half early. Anyway, give us a ring if you'd like to participate with us at 340-1055. We will be right back. 24 here at News 104.5. Grateful that you're with us in Hastings. Jackie has an old house and is concerned it could be being consumed by termites. Uh-oh. Jackie, tell us about it.
A rehab house, and I didn't have to have an inspection.
Take me back. It's a rehab house, and you didn't have to have an inspection. Why would that be?
No, not to buy it. It was in Fannie Mae.
Ma'am, the reason we do inspections, whether they're WDO inspections for termites or home inspections, isn't because some knucklehead lender said it was mandatory. It's so we can know things and reduce our risk.
Well, I would have bought it anyway.
You love it.
Okay.
All right.
So here we are. Tell us more.
Well, I had some work done on the house, and the guy that was helping me said, because the wood is super hard. You can't even hardly bang a nail through it. And he said, you'll never have to worry about termites. And then I heard your show a couple weeks back talking about termites.
Yes.
And now I'm worried.
Mama, here's the thing. Do I need to worry about termites? No, we don't need to worry about anything. What we need to do is assess risk. Tell me again how old the house is, what year?
1946.
Okay, that's nice. I don't worry about things. Rather, we investigate things and sit and say, where are we in the 70-year history of this house as it relates to termites? Have they ever been there? If they've never been there, they're likely not coming, to be very honest. If they have been there, then we want to know what damage have they done and are they still there? So if they were there and now they're gone, that's a good thing. And if the damage that they did while they were there has had no negative impact on the structure, don't worry about it. If it has had a negative impact on the structure, then we make that repair and take actions to reduce the probability they'll ever come again, which is treatment. Now, depending on what termite it was, typically drywood termites or a subterranean termite, the treatment protocol will vary and you move happily ever after. So in my mind, there aren't things to worry about. There are things to get an understanding of, make a decision based on where you are, and live happily ever after. The person helping you do this repair or renovation, did they say they saw any signs of past damage?
No. No, the house is raised, and we've been all around the house, underneath, you know, in the walls and everything, and, you know, but we're not professional termite spotters, so.
Well, because you've told me you've crawled all under it, and you've opened walls, and you've got other people helping you do repairs, and no one has seen anything that's caused them any concern, I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Oh, okay, well, great.
I'm not a worrier, ma'am.
Well, good. No, I'm not either.
Mm-hmm. If you had told me a slightly different story, I still wouldn't be worried, though I would encourage you deeply to take an aggressive action. But in your case, the house is 70 years old. You nor anyone else who's been in there doing opened walls and destructive things have seen any sign of damage or infestation, relax.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hi, ma'am. Have a beautiful day.
Oh, wait, I had one more question.
Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to grow citrus trees in pots, and I want to know the best soil to put in the container.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question because there's so many different types of soil out there, a gazillion when you go to the store, and the cheapest is not the solution. I'm going to say, and what size trees are you going to put in the containers?
Just a 7 gallon. I'm going to start with a 7 gallon. And I got those big half a barrel whiskey barrels.
Yeah. I'm saying Miracle-Gro.
Miracle-Gro.
Yes. It's good. It's peaty. We're having some drought. They have a lot of peat in Miracle-Gro, so it will hold the water. All right?
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Have a beautiful day. And those big wooden barrels like that, I love the look of them.
Uh-huh.
They 3 years maybe? They start rotting out?
No, they last a long time.
Really?
Yeah. They last a long time.
How long is that?
Probably around maybe 8 to 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. I've had some last that long.
And you're watering them regularly and putting all your good stuff in it? Eight to 10 years.
You can spray them with sealant, pour hot wax, and then, pour some wax, heat up some paraffin and spread it all over, paint it all over it. You know, make sure it's use a stiff bristle, scrub it in there.
I have termites in my raised bed.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm not a happy guy.
Oh, brought them there?
Well, the earth brought them there.
I'm assuming you use pressure treated wood.
No, I use cedar.
Cedar. Are they in the cedar?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It really surprised me. I didn't expect that. And it's only 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
But on the north side of the raised bed where it doesn't dry out routinely, I have termites.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, well, anytime I've walked around in large flower beds and they've had a large piece of cypress, I've seen termites in cypress or anything like that. Laying on the ground all the time, frequently.
Well, it makes sense that I have it. I just would prefer that I did
not.
Well,
you use pressure treated.
I'll solve it.
Okay.
It's 8:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 8:34 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you are with us. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is with me. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. If you're looking for the large landscaper during the week, larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, got the video, frequently asked questions, and by telephone, 346-1970. Again, slower. 346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection. .com. Home inspections, commercial building inspecting, environmental sampling, and other great and fine things, including the 18-month home warranty. Why buy 12 when you can get 18 for the same? It just doesn't make any sense to me. All righty, joining us from Jacksonville Beach, great little town, is Alicia, who's got a real estate seminar going on. Alicia, tell us about the program. What are you doing?
Hey, Wally, good morning.
Morning.
We're going to be talking about reasons to buy versus rent and doing a pros and cons analysis. So rents stay the same, tax benefits, and you can do anything you want with the property, especially garden.
Well, I like the idea of pros and cons because, truth be told, some situations for some people, they're better off being renters. It's a very honest thing.
Yes, I agree. It's a really personal decision.
And for others, they are throwing their money down the toilet as renters when they could become owners. And it's that objective piece that's really good. Where is the program and when is the program?
The program's going to be this morning at 10 a.m. over at Exit Real Estate Gallery, just behind the Publix. It's right at Beach and A1A.
Good, good. And what is your role in the seminar?
I'm going to be speaking about several things in the lending process. So we're going to let the realtors approach the pros and cons first, and then the people who are interested in learning about how to get the best mortgage without sticking a fork in your eye. We'll talk about some details why shopping for the best interest rate isn't always the best program for you. I just went through that with a client yesterday. Very interesting. And some other things as far as the seven massive mortgage mistakes to avoid for a smooth, easy closing.
That sounds like it could make a book. Tell us about your book, and then I got to let you go.
The book's available on Amazon, and it's called How to Get Approved for the Best Mortgage Without Sticking a Fork in Your Eye. We've got some great reviews from readers, so we're really grateful that we've been able to help them save money during their mortgage process.
Great reviews, like drove it to number one on Amazon, girlfriend.
Yes. Thank you, Wally.
All righty, man. Appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Good luck on the program.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, ma'am. All right, in Melrose. William's got some freshly treated lumber. Oh, I pushed the wrong button. In Melrose. That was my fault.
You're acting normal. That's all right.
William, I apologize. Okay, I made a mistake.
Well, I don't have the lumber yet. That's why I'm calling. I'm working on a dock, and I'm putting new stringers in to replace the rotten ones and putting new planks on and possibly some new posts. And the water's down, so I'll be working on dry land. But can you give me a primer or a primer on treated wood and the kind I should use? And should I is what I'm doing available at Home Depot or the big box store?
No.
You got to get, you know, of course, it's freshwater immersion. That's, you got to have that because you're working on. But you can get saltwater immersion. Saltwater immersion is even, you know, more durable. So what? Where are you at on
Melrose? He's pretty
Melrose,
far out.
Melrose, yeah, you're in fresh water, so you know, paying the extra, and you don't have to do it as frequently. You know, is the key thing. Of course, if you use concrete or some of the other new composite materials you use for that, you're going to be even better off. But on the pressure treated wood, there's basically three grades: ground contact, freshwater immersion, and saltwater immersion. So if you spend the extra. Yeah,
10% maybe.
Yeah, not much. Just like
the wood doesn't change in expense. It's the little bit for the extra treatment. Saltwater immersion.
Saltwater immersion, it'll last longer, or you know you may not be around to appreciate it. So you know,
that's not nice.
Well, I try to tell.
William, tell me about the condition of the pilings.
Well, they're not too bad off. I just need to add a couple of extra ones.
Yeah. One of the things that
main thing is on this, on the docks, because is this, is you can make sure that everything is tied back since you're working, that you have dead men and you anchor the dock back so it doesn't, you know, come tilting back. A lot of times docks, I've had to, you know, put sink concrete into the yard, tied to the cables, and then keep it from
In the lakes in Melrose, they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. Or they're not tilting out.
One of the things I see with docks very commonly, William, is things get repaired as needed as opposed to as a system. So the idea of changing out the stringers and changing out the crossbucks and changing out the decking, if you do it all the way right with saltwater immersion,
yeah,
it's going to last 20, 30 years.
Yeah, it's the best solution.
You don't want to spend top dollar in doing things all the way right and expend your labor on top of pilings that might only have 5 years left.
Right,
so
exactly.
Really consider...
That's a great point.
What the condition of the pilings. And then thankfully down in Melrose, as we were just sharing, you're not dealing with tide, you're not dealing with current, you're not dealing with salt water, you're not dealing with barnacles. You know, life might live much longer, but it's always sad to see somebody put a ton of money on top of a system where the pilings are already...
compromised,
good term. So just
ponder
that.
Yeah, good point. What about the decking? Should it also be the very best?
That's my opinion.
Yeah, Wally has a good point. You know, just like we were talking about the glue and the sealant,
yeah.
You know, about, you know, it costs you extra $100 and in 5 more days or 7 more days of waiting time, it's definitely worth it, you know. And it's also, if it ends, keep through all the receipts, and then when you get ready to sell it, you know, that's always a question when people are purchasing a house, you know, the bulkhead, the pier, and all these other things, you know, what is the life expectancy after I purchase it? You can produce those receipts and show them, hey, listen, this is saltwater immersion. You're going to have it for a long time.
How long or how large is the dock, William?
Oh, I'm just talking about a small section about 30 feet long right now. I want to do this in pieces.
Why?
Well, because I have other issues with it.
Okay. Yeah, 30 feet. It is a small incremental difference in expense.
Yeah, very tiny.
To use the top materials.
Yeah, yeah. The top materials. A lot of times when you're doing a huge, like paver systems, you know, where you're paying, you know, doing 20,000 square feet, a little bit of difference can make a difference, and the material can make a, you know, pretty sizable difference in the price. But 30 feet is, no matter what you use, it's going to be inexpensive.
Well, if they don't sell this at big box stores,
Ducks and Docks, that's a company that specializes in.
Is that the one on Phillips?
On Phillips Highway, yeah. They would definitely sell it. I buy lumber there. It's good. It's good quality.
Down here that you know of?
Pardon me?
I'll just ask around, I guess.
They'll deliver.
Yeah, I'd get it delivered. And it's a small enough quantity. You know, if you've got a pick-em-up truck, you can just throw it in your own truck or even do whatever. There's likely somebody who will deliver to Melrose. You might look at one of the, and I don't have a name off the top of my head, but one of the places,
there's a farm store.
There's
a Southern Lumber on Phillips Way down there towards... St. Augustine, the Southern Lumber.
Still a good difference from Melrose.
Yeah, it's still a little closer, not much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty, William, check in with us and let us know how your project went.
Okay, did you say ducks and dogs?
Decks and docks.
D-E-C-K-S and
decks.
And docks.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had a faux pas if I said that.
Okay. All right, thanks very much.
Appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All righty, where are we? Annie has some concrete planners. Yeah, you were bad. Annie, I apologize too. You were the button that I mispushed earlier, so I'm happy you came back.
We have to increase the size of the numbers because Wally, you know, he's getting old, you know, face it.
I was crushed.
Go ahead, Annie, please.
I was crushed that you hit my button.
I was crushed that I did it wrong.
Come
and
on.
I'm just grateful
you came
back. Be
a little nicer to people. Be a little nicer. All right.
I would like to know what would be good to put in a concrete planters.
How big are they?
One of them would be full sun, and it's 9 by 5
feet.
And the other one would be about a half day sun, and it is 9 by 3.
Okay, that's you know, in planters, to have a great looking planter of, you know, you got to load it up with a lot of material. You got to have a lot of variety, and if you wanted to have, say, zero water, you could put a color guard yucca, sedum, maybe some perennial peanut, in there, things that like it would echeverra, things you would never need water. You can plant the plants that never need water. You could put some herb in there or very little. You can put some oregano in there. There's a whole group. And then as you move towards the more the perennial types and the annuals, you know, you need to probably, water once a day during the middle of summer. Concrete does wick out a lot of the moisture in the soil. So that's all that being said, I would think about going with zero amount of water. Another thing you could do, and while I'm planting containers, is just do the opposite of what would be intuitive to you, is to put a container inside of a container. And plastic, it doesn't have any holes for the water to come out. And you could put plants that like it grow in wet conditions. You know, you could put iris, blue flag iris. You can put cannelly. You could put Rebecca lancinata, herbstone. Those plants can take immersion. You know, planting plants that can take immersion or grow along the bank or the marginal areas of the bank. And then you water once, you fill that container up, and then you walk away, and you come back again in a week. It's the ones that are in the middle that need the continuous water. They need good drainage. They need to be watered every day, like perennials, like roses and shrubbery. But the ones on the far end of the spectrum, the, you know, want to really soggy or the really dry, are easy to maintain. But if you decide to just go with a lot of flowering annuals, flowering perennials, salvias are going to be the most drought resistant. Some of the grasses look beautiful in containers. They're going to be the most drought resistant. Marigolds are more drought resistant. Those type of plants are some of the good ones. The shade variety, you know, if you're going to put it in shade, I mean, I love ferns. You know, they're absolutely beautiful. Plectranthra, Mona lavender is a beautiful flowering plant. Indian pinks is another variety of plant that will do well in the shade and flower in the shade. Flowering plants in the shade is a little more touchy, you know. All right?
Okay, what was the Mona lavender and the other?
Mona lavender and some ferns. It would look great in the shade. Fern. Autumn brilliance is a great-looking fern. Let me see. You could put another great-looking plant. Indian pinks is a native plant that would grow good in the shade. I'm just trying to go over my mind here what I'd use in the shade. You could put some Asiatic jasmine in there. I'd use this one particular type or two different types. One would be salsa or sunrise. The leaves are bright orange. I mean, when you say orange, you know, and then they have yellow variegation in dark green leaves. And then they have pink snow. I don't make these names up for them. But that's white variegation, really clean white variegation. Dark green and pink is the color. The leaves are actually pink, a clear pink. So you can have that as your as some of your color elements in your you can put a small maybe a very small, like a 1 gallon or 3 gallon Japanese maple in there. So you could put some carax. Caraxes are a grass that likes shade, and they're very highly colored. They come in that aria gold color. They come in white variegation. They give you that kind of the spillover look. But those are some great candidates right there.
Okay.
A lot. You want me to keep on talking? Well, yes, I can keep on talking.
Here, I'm sure I've missed some of it.
Yeah.
He didn't take a breath that whole time.
No, he didn't.
No, I could. You know, don't mention plants. I could talk forever. But Carax is regularly available. Mona lavender, autumn brilliance fern, any of the ferns are going to look good in there. A small Japanese maple, maybe a 3 gallon, that would look good as far as your verticals. And then those Indian pinks, the jasmine pink snow is a great looking, colorful plant with
That's
low
good.
Maintenance.
Pink snow you were talking about.
Pink snow or salsa if you like it orange. All right, pentas are another good plant. Pentas, they can take drought.
Okay.
All right.
Whew.
You needed a breath, too. I'm over here gasping for air.
Gasping for air.
Yep.
Okay.
Like I've been run over by a herd of Volkswagen.
Yeah. Welcome to my world, Annie. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Norman Julington Creek has got blue haze. He can't get to bloom. Welcome, Norm.
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, I don't know the botanical name of it, but blue haze, we've had them for years in planters around the barn and little pots and stuff. And for some reason, they're just stopping blooming. They're not blooming any longer. The plants look healthy. We're keeping them watered. We even threw a dose of Miracle-Gro in there. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on with it.
What, any way to what kind of Miracle-Gro did you put on it?
Well, that's a darn good question. I have no idea. My wife bought it. We put it on there. So.
You know, if you...
They're probably Bloom Be Gone.
Okay. Yeah, Bloom Be Gone. I like that. That's clever, Norm. But I would use a little bit of Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer and some fish emulsion on there. Okay. The reason I say that is because a lot of times when you buy Miracle-Gro, it comes with a large nitrogen number. And if you put it on your tomatoes won't produce flowers or fruit. Because you have to have the right fertilizer combination for blooming plants. So plants that put flowers, and if you give them too much nitrogen, they won't produce any good flowers. In fact, blue haze likes it a little on the sparse side, you know, on the fertilizer. So I think if you get some Miracle-Gro rose fertilizer and a little bit of fish emulsion, that should resolve the issue. All right?
All right. Give it a shot. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Let us know.
All righty.
Bye, Norm. Great voice, man. Sounds like a radio guy.
Yes, yes.
It's 8:51 here
in
the news.
Rufus, we'll get you next cut.
Sorry,
go
sir.
Ahead. Go ahead.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's 8:56 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. This is our final segment for today. We are grateful that you were here with us. Final guest of the day. Rufus in Arlington, who's got some problem with his palm fronds. Welcome, Rufus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a couple of large palm trees. They're not like clean palms. They're your standard, I would call like date palm or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But as the fronds grow out of the crown and they work their way down into the canopy,
uh-huh.
they start having... like a brownish red rust spot on the fronds. And it gets progressively worse the lower they get in the order of, you know, of
right.
the canopy. And I don't know if it's causing the fronds to die off quicker or just what the problem may be.
Well, that's a good question. Well, it's more than likely, it's going to be nutrient deficiency. If the fronds come out clean, they're clean when they get, there's no spots on them, right?
No, they're beautiful when they come out.
Okay. It's going to be magnesium. So the potassium deficiency shows upon the new fronds, and the magnesium, as they get older, they'll start to show a deficiency. Starts to demonstrate deficiency. So you want to get some balanced palm fertilizer and make an application. Then if you see a round circle around the spot, that would be fungus, and apply fungicide. Well, this is the Home and Garden Show with Larry and Wally. Thanks for having us this weekend. This is WOKV 104.5, and we'll be back next weekend with you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.